reading to you from 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter and the 58th verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Knoll, and you know I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. One year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Folks, I want you to remember to pray for me this coming week. I'll be going in for an operation, and pray that God will help me to get well in a hurry so I can get back out here and get busy for the Lord. You know, I never get tired of telling people about Jesus. I don't know why God called me to preach, but I'll tell you one thing, I'm happy he did. I sure am. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour a night. Won't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? For the few moments we have, I'd like to speak on a subject that's very, very important for today. And that's about unbelievers. Oh, friends, if you knew how many people in our churches today are unbelievers, you say, how can that be? Well, you tell me. I don't understand how a man could go to church and not listen. Of course, there's some churches where they don't talk much about Jesus. They're kind of a little social club. They have their little dinners, and they have this, and they have that. But I want you to know an unbeliever is in terrible, dangerous ground. And I read in Psalms 78:32, for all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. They saw the wonderful things that Jesus did. He raised the dead, he healed the lame and the blind, but they wouldn't believe him. You know, years and years ago, to this day, I don't understand what happened, but we know it did. God led me and my family to move from California to come to Oregon. I didn't know why I was to move to Oregon. I didn't know anything, but I can tell you, he did it, and the results are in his hands. I went to work immediately as a carpenter for a company that I served my apprenticeship under when I was an alcoholic. They were two neat guys. I really thought the world and all of them. Well, I worked for them, and I got good pay. And one day we were having our lunch. There's about 7 or 8 of us carpenters out under the shade tree having our lunch. And this one guy who was my foreman said, hey, Mo, you know what I heard? Someone said you was a preacher. I said, that's correct. Well, he said, do you know what I believe? And I said, no, I don't. He said, I believe men come from monkeys. I said, in your particular case, there's a possibility. And did you know he fired me right there on the spot? The men come to me and said, Cecil, you go to the company and you tell them what he did. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. He made fun of my Lord, and I stood up. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, my deacon, he wasn't my deacon then, but he was later, he came to me and he said, Cecil, I can get you a job out at the rest home in Gresham. Pay's not good. I think they paid $175 a month, and I was getting around $400 a week at the job. I took the job. Emptying bedpans and cooking or making lunch for the night crew. And I went to work, and I worked all night long and go home better 7 in the morning. Well, one night I was in there in the kitchen fixing the lunch for some of the people, and this young man walked in. He said, are you Cecil Moe? And I said, yeah. He said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, so am I." He said, "You know Lydia, that nurse on the second floor?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "She's a tough old nut, isn't she?" I said, "Boy, you're not a kid." And he said, "If you try to witness to her?" I said, "Absolutely." He said, "Well, so do I, and I've done it, and she just is just an unbeliever and don't want to hear about it." He said, "Listen, preacher, let's you and I kneel here on our knees and claim Lydia for the Lord." So that preacher and I, we knelt there and we prayed for Lydia that God would save her. Did you know, friends, I walked up the stairs that evening and went into her station. I said, "Lydia, I come here to talk to you about Jesus." And she just threw a hissy. But before you know it, she was kneeling there and giving her heart to Jesus. She told me, she said, "Cecil, my husband's an alcoholic, and I believe you could talk to him." I said, "I'd be happy to." So on a Saturday, she brought her alcoholic husband, Floyd, over to our house. And I said, "Floyd," I said, "I understand you having a problem." He said, "Yeah, according to my wife." "No, no, no. According to you, you're having a problem with alcohol." "Well, maybe I do drink a little too much." I said, "Well, most alcoholics are in denial. I know I was for a long time." But to make a long story short, I told him how I met Jesus. And in my living room there, Floyd and I knelt with his wife and my wife, and he gave his heart to Jesus. Now, the one of the ladies that went to church with us, and her husband was a deacon, worked there as a nurse too. She came to me one day and said, "Cecil, you know there's no church out there where Floyd and Lydia live. Why don't we go out there and take a, you know, go look it over, and maybe we can start a little church, a mission out there." I said, "Okay." So we went out there, and it looked like a very good field for a good little mission. And so we decided that we would start a mission, and her and her husband, who was a deacon, we went to work, and guess who joined our church? Floyd and Lydia. Friends, if it had not been for that dear lady and her dear husband, we would have never started a church out there in that community. We rented a big Grange Hall for $100 a month, and God just gave us souls after, for the first year, 50 people trusted Jesus. I'm telling you, it was a miracle. It wasn't because of Cecil's great preaching, because I'm not a great preacher, but there was another American Sunday school used to come out there and hold Bible study for them, and that's how and then they left, and these people had no place to go to church. Well, they came to our church, and we preached the gospel, and they gave their heart to Jesus. It tells us in Psalm 78:33, "Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble." Now listen to this, my friends. This is scary. John 3:18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." All right, right now, if you're an unbeliever, you're already condemned according to the Bible. If you don't believe Jesus, you are condemned. Don't have to be that way. You could listen on and you can give your heart to Jesus. Well, I was good before I went to our church. I was going to a church in downtown Portland. And one night a guy's come to me and he said, "Cecil, my dad's an alcoholic and he's going to come and tear this church apart. He really is. Would you stay with me tonight when he comes down?" And the church already, and the preaching was done and they all left. And I and him and another man was sitting there. All of a sudden we heard a bore, these two doors bang open, and we heard this guy staggering up those stairs. He walked into the vestibule there. He had his glasses on top of his head. His pants were undone. He had peed his pants. And he was crying. And he said, "Do you think I can get help here?" Now, he hated the church because he wanted to tear it down. But now, all of a sudden, he says, "Can I get some help?" I said, "Yes, sir, you can." So the four of us went in this prayer room and we sat down. I shared my testimony with him, told him how I, too, was an alcoholic. I'd have met Jesus. And I want you to know that night, that dear, dear old man knelt there with his son and me and another man and invited Christ into his heart. Now, sometimes you wonder, was he telling the truth or was he serious? 2 weeks later, which was just about Christmas time, my wife and I are about 5 minutes late coming to church. And I and my children, and we was coming up the steps in the church, and we heard some singing. And our church was doing a Christmas cantata. And this beautiful tenor voice was singing. Oh, my stars, I walked into that, and there he was, the old converted alcoholic, the old unbeliever, the one that hated God and hated churches, leading in the singing. Oh, friends, listen, that's why I am so concerned about alcoholics. Because I know that Jesus Christ can change them. He changed me. And I've seen him change hundreds of people over the years. That's why I spend all this money sending out books and my movie and songs and tapes. Not because I'm a great man, it's because I know how they hurt. I know how they feel. I've been thrown in jail because I was drunk. Oh, my dear friends, I know what Jesus can do. It tells us in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your wives. I remember one time preaching a revival down in Virginia. And the next day the pastor and I was out on a visitation, and we came to this house, and the pastor said to the lady, you weren't at the revival last night. Oh, she said, I had to go help my niece, move her no good husband out, help her move out because he's an alcoholic. I said, well, could you give me his phone number? No, he hates preachers, he hates God, and he's not interested in his life being changed. I said, how do you know? How do you know? And then all of a sudden I went back to the days that the preachers talked to me and no one told me about Christ. Psychiatrists, psychologists, they didn't know what my problem was. Well, they knew my problem was, but they didn't know the solution. Wow, I tell you this truth, it was terrible. Well, anyway, dear friends, we went and visited another house, and this was a mother of this lady that we talked to, and she said her son their daughter left her son. He was an alcoholic. I said, well, is that the one you're talking about? And she, Carl? And she said, yes. I said, well, could you give me his phone number? She said, all right, I'll give his phone number. But he hates God and he hates everybody else. So anyway, that night I preached and I come home from the service and I got on the phone and I tried to reach him, but nobody answered. 7:30 in the morning, I get on the phone and I dial this number, and this old drunk guy answered the phone. I said, Carl, this is Cecil Moe, and I'd kind of like to come by and say hello to you. He said, okay, come on by. I never told him I was a preacher. I never told him that the pastor would be with me. We went to this house. It was such a rundown, hadn't saw paint in 20 years. And we went in there, and all he had for furniture was an old beat-up chair with a spring sticking out of it and a davenport with a spring sticking out of it. And I said, well, my name is Cecil Moe, and this is, I never said this is Reverend. I said, this is so-and-so. And I said to him, I said, sir, you have an alcoholic problem, don't you? He said, yeah. He said, in fact, the matter is my wife and my two kids moved out on me the other night. I said, well, would you like to know how you get off alcohol? Oh, man, would I like to know. You know what I did? I bounced off that davenport, knelt down by that old man's chair and took him by the hand and led him into the sinner's prayer. And Carl gave his heart to Christ. Well, you could tell he had a hangover and he was sick. So anyway, I went and helped him back to his bed, which is an old ironstead bed, and I helped him get in the bed and covered him up. I said, you stay here. I'm going to go down and get some soup and some sandwiches and some stuff to help you with. So we went down, we got stuff, and gave it to him. And I told him, I said, now, I'm going to visit your wife today, but I'm going to tell her not to take you back. He says, what? I said, I'm going to tell him not to take you back. Why? I said, to find out if you were telling the truth. Now, let me tell you what happened, friends. All she ever wanted was a new refrigerator. That's all she ever asked him for, but he could never hold a job. And we found out later he was the best Chevrolet mechanic in that little town. Well, he went back to that station and told them he got saved and he'd like a job, and they gave him his job back. And then, of course, I came back to Colorado, and I called the pastor, and I said, how's old Carl doing? Oh, Cecil, you're not going to believe this. Him and his wife are courting. She's going out with him, taking her out to dinner. He bought her a refrigerator. The last time I heard, they came back together, and the old man was out telling men and women about Jesus. Friends, if you get an alcoholic saved and delivered from alcohol, you got a worker. 99% of them are work. Most Christians say, oh, they'll go back and drink, and oh, they're not, yeah. Well, that's not necessarily so. Why is people unbelievers? Well, because they're blind by the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. The Bible said, men will not come to light lest their light their deeds be reproved. That's exactly what it says. Well, now, the Bible also tells us in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's where unbelievers are going. If you're an unbeliever tonight, friend, that's where you're headed. You're headed for a devil's hell. No, I don't like to tell people that. Sure, I don't like to tell that. Or I'll tell you another story. When I was a director of the mission in Grand Forks, North Dakota, I had several broadcasts going. I get a call at 11 o'clock at night, 50 below zero outside. And this man said, I'm Martin, and I have an alcoholic working for you. He said, I want a body shop. And he said, you know what? This man is really in not very good shape, and I'd like to have you come talk to him. I said, tonight? Yeah, he said he was going to jump in the river and commit suicide, but the river's frozen over. So I went over there for 2 hours, and I talked to that man about the Lord. And I want you to know, friends, he was an unbeliever. He did not want to believe in God. He didn't want to believe in nothing. Well, to make a long story short, oh, I visited him several times, and one day, the owner, the one who called, Martin, came to my office and shut the door. He said, preacher, I want to talk to you. I said, okay, what's on your mind? He said, I want you to know, I don't know where I'm going when I die. I said, what? He said, I don't know Jesus. I said, do you want to know Jesus? Oh, he said, I sure do. And we knelt there, and I led that man to Christ. He went on later to be a member of the board of directors on that mission. He was religious, but he was lost. Friends, you do not know how many church members today that are on the rolls, and they think they're going to heaven, but they're not. You know, there was a young lady and a young man I met. I used to go to high school with her husband, and they came to, my wife and I were camping, and we run into them. I hadn't seen Daryl for years, and man alive, when he found out I was a preacher, it almost scared him to death. Well, anyway, so his wife, oh, she was a good Christian, went to church all the time, raised in the church. Mom and Daddy were Christian, read the Bible, prayed. Boy, she was a sweet little girl. Well, we invited them to come up to our Bible camp up in Mount Baker. And so they went out and bought a little travel trailer, and they met us up there. And that night I went to church, and boy, that preacher preached a hard message. Do you love Jesus? Yeah, I love Jesus. I went back and I got in our trailer and went to sleep. I tried to go to sleep and couldn't sleep. Finally, I got up and went over to their trailer. And I sat there and I talked to Daryl and Millie all hours. And she kept trying to pass herself off as a Christian. And she looked like one. She acted like one. She talked like one. She knew the phraseologies. But that next morning in that service, when the power of God's Holy Spirit came upon them, she gave her heart to Christ. She was born again. Her husband was born again. Her brother was born again. And my niece was born again that day. What a day that was. Friends, listen to me. I don't know where you stand tonight. I don't have any idea. But I do know this. If you don't know whether you're going to heaven, you're not. The Bible said that God will let you know. The Spirit of God will reveal to you your experience with Christ. Because you have been forgiven. Your name been written in the Lamb Book of Life. So I'm going to ask you tonight, do you know whether you're going to heaven or you're dying? You say, oh, Cecil, no, I don't know. You can't know. Oh, yes, you can. The morning I gave my heart to Christ, I knew I was headed for heaven. And I knew my life was going to change because he delivered me immediately from alcohol. And later on, he delivered me from tobacco, which was a real downer on me. Well, friends, listen. Tonight, I don't know where you stand. I don't know how you feel, but I'll tell you this. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to bow your head to me right now. And I want you to say, I want you to repeat this sinner's prayer. Please don't do it unless you mean it. And here's how it goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I'm so sorry for my sins. I'm turning my back tonight, Lord, on the old way of life. And I'm inviting Christ in to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I wish you'd get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. Won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. Now, the decision is yours. You say, Cecil, a lot of things you said I don't understand. Well, call me on the phone tonight. I'll talk to you. No, I won't charge you for this. If you can't afford to call me collect, and I'll pay for it, okay? 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I want to thank you, dear ones, for listening. Oh, I'm concerned where you spend eternity, not where you go to church, what denomination you belong to. I don't care. I want you to go where God leads you to go. Now, I'm not going to tell you where to go to church. I can recommend, but I'd rather the Holy Spirit tell you, because he's always right, and Cecil's not always right. Okay. Now, I urge all of you who listen to this tape tonight to pray for me as I go in for an operation. Pray that it'll be a great success and it'll be a walk through the park, okay? I've had cancer operations before and I don't like them, but I'm glad that God pulled me through that last one. So I'm a survivor. So you pray for us and pray for our ministry and pray for these ads in the paper that will reach many, many, many alcoholics. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor, stay sweet, keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.